Hello, and welcome to Be the Adult You Needed as a Child podcast, the podcast that's looking to extend mentorship and enrich mentor-mentee relationships through mindful, thoughtful skill sets that will enhance those relationships, which will therefore enhance our entire society. Today, I want to take a look at a skill set that is problematic for a lot of us to tackle, and that's the idea of letting students struggle, letting them struggle to learn. In the fall of 2014, 20 biology teachers from around the United States began a new project together. They would all write an essay on a shared prompt. That prompt was, "What is the value of letting students struggle in class?" The result would be 200 plus teacher-written and reviewed pages about teaching from teachers. I think this speaks greatly to the importance of allowing students to struggle and helping them learn to overcome adversity. I will put a link in the show notes to these articles that were published in the Washington Post in various forms and lengths. I think they're valuable reading, but I'm not going to quote them too much here, but I use that to show the importance of the topic about which I'm going to speak today. Think about a child who's learning to ride a bike. They're going to fall down sometimes, but each time they fall down, they learn something new about how to ride that bike. They learn something about themselves and something how to respond to failure and getting back up and dusting themselves off and trying again. The same holds true for any type of learning. We as human beings can make a deeper connection to knowledge if we overcome adversity to get it. So simply telling students the answer will not be as meaningful as the student taking control of his or her own learning and conquering it and taking ownership of that knowledge. Now, to do this, it doesn't mean that you as a mentor or a classroom teacher or what have you, whatever role you might be in, doesn't mean you're going to be completely hands-off and you're just going to sit back and watch the student or the young person get overwhelmed by failure. In fact, you're going to have to learn to balance things in the relationship in a completely different way. You're going to have to shift the way you think and approach things that allow for the student's way of thinking and their way of tackling an issue or a situation. And to do that, you're going to have to check your ego. You're going to have to let go of that and work to empower the students. This is about them, and the knowledge needs to be allowed to be theirs. If you're a central fountain of knowledge, it's much harder for them to take ownership. They're always going to look to you as the source of knowledge, and that's not what we want. So how do you get to that point of allowing struggle, and how do you balance that while maintaining some sort of learning? Well, that's a good question. Everybody's going to have to find their own answer, I'm afraid. But I'm going to take a look today and offer some suggestions that might help you take a look at the way you approach a situation with a mentee or a young person that you might be working with and allow them to struggle to learn. So think of it, again, as a young person learning to ride a bike. So once you feel they're ready, you have to take your hands off those handlebars. You have to take your hands off and allow them to struggle on their own. If you continue to hang on to the handlebars, if you continue to hang on to control, they're never going to learn to take control. They're never going to learn to function fully on their own. They're always going to turn back to you for the answer. You need to be there to help them up when they do fall, because they will, but that's okay. That's part of the process. And if you're there to show them how to get back up and how to look at what has happened and how to use that, it's going to help them in the long run be able to handle most anything life might throw at them. As students struggle to learn, you as a mentor, you can be there to provide encouragement. That's your role. They're going to get frustrated. They're going to get angry when they fail. And that's okay. That's natural. They need to learn to work through this frustration, though. If we don't have them work on those skills of overcoming frustration and overcoming the failure, then they're not going to learn how to overcome things in life later that have more serious consequences. You need to show them positive things in the situation. Show them what they can learn. Ask them what did they see. See if they can identify why they failed. See if they can fix anything, if they can change anything. What did they learn from that failure? If they think about it, they're going to come up with answers to these questions. The other thing as a mentor, your role is going to be a cheerleader. You need to remind them of what they've accomplished to get this far. You're going to have to remind them to keep trying. You're going to have to help them through this current struggle and remind them that it's okay, that this is a learning opportunity and that you can move beyond it. You can offer ideas or tools that they can use. This is not the same thing as giving them the quote-unquote answer, but to give them options. Point to something and say, well, what if you changed this? What would happen? What would happen if you changed that over there? You know, whatever it might be, these little moments where they take ownership. Don't do it for them. Letting them struggle helps them learn. They may beg for the training wheels to be put back on that bicycle. They may be begging you to grab a hold of those handlebars and steer them and hold them upright. But again, if you do that, they don't grow. They don't learn. They never take full ownership. Don't give in. Remind them to remain positive, and you're going to play that role of cheerleader and support again and again. But once they overcome the issue, they're going to be more self-confident, they're going to be empowered, they're going to be willing to take a risk because they learn that risks, if calculated and handled properly, can allow for great things. Once you really learn something, and remind them of this, once you really learn something, you don't forget it, even if it was a struggle to learn it. If any of us who don't bike regularly learn to ride a bike as a young kid, we can get back on a bike and remember how it works. We might be shaky, and that's okay, but the more you do it, the more natural it becomes, and it comes right back to you. This is the same for almost any type of knowledge. Once you struggle through it, and once you overcome it, and once you take ownership, it is yours. You need to give students a chance to practice and make mistakes and to learn from those mistakes. This is where the learning really happens, is in that practice. The old adage of practice makes perfect is a very true thing. It is where we grow. Try it again and try it again and try it again. Making sure that this practice isn't just practice for the sake of practice, but it's structured. And then it's not punishment, but that there's a purpose to it, and that's going to lead to great things. The idea of letting students fail can be scary, but it truly is a great way for students to learn. There does have to be a balance struck, though. We need to allow students to struggle, but not to the point that they give up. Think of it as a continuum. On one end, there's the traditional classroom model where rote learning is taking place. There's no struggle here. Students are given information and required to learn it. In the middle is the productive struggle zone. This is what we're shooting for. The other end of the spectrum is the destructive struggle zone. This is where students are getting overwhelmed and they quit and they are frustrated and they have no tools to overcome that. They just shut down. The careful balance between no struggle and too much struggle is the place we want to get to. Allowing student ideas to quote-unquote fail or not work, and then being there to help them or to create an environment in which the students are feeling supported and that they're reminded to look critically at what has happened and they can find their own answer. That is what this looks like. That is the struggle zone that we are shooting for. Asking them to examine their idea and then helping them critically analyze what's happened. From there, working with them to process this data and to see where they're going to go with it. Even if their new idea seems doomed to fail again, the student will learn from the failure more than the success most of the time. It also allows you as a mentor to help them persevere through failure. That is a valuable life skill, and I can't stress enough how important it is that we help students with that. All in all, it kind of comes down to the old adage of give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. Giving over the ownership of learning and knowledge frees the student to grow in so many ways and allows them to feel comfortable taking risks, learning to grow through failure, critically analyze data, place a personal value on knowledge. These things are so important. This is what we as mentors are wanting them to do. We can sit there with them and do their homework with them and show them the right way to do that math problem, but if we help them struggle through the math problem, they're going to be more likely to know it. And once they figure out how that works, it is their knowledge. There are countless adages and stories I could reference to illustrate my point, but I'm not going to go into all of those. Like I said before, I'm going to put a link in my show notes to the Washington Post articles that reference the teacher-written essays on allowing students to struggle in that. But I do want to talk about one more story that I learned about when I was doing my graduate work a few years back. Wish I could remember more of the detail, but in some rural area in Africa, a World Aid organization was handing out mosquito bed nets. There was a pretty big issue with malaria in the area, and this organization was giving out the netting to put around the bed so people weren't getting bitten by mosquitoes and malaria wasn't spreading. So they give out all these nets to the local people, and then some time passes. The organization left the area and carried on their mission elsewhere and whatnot. Then they come back to this area only to find that no one was using the netting as intended. They had made presentations. They had showed people. They had set them up for people, everything. They had one-on-one talks with the heads of households. They had done everything that they thought was important to tell these people, this is what this is for. This is how you use it. This is what it will do for you. They gave them everything they could. When they inquired about this, the answers that they got back about the lack of importance that the people had put on the netting's intended purpose. Regardless of the importance that the World Aid Organization had put on trying to prevent mosquito bites and malaria, the local people didn't put the same importance on it because they had just been told, they'd been given the answer. So they thought about it for a while. And they got thinking outside the box, and so the next time they stopped giving away the nets. They actually charged a small amount of money. It wasn't enough to really be a burden on these people, and it wasn't enough to really even cover the cost of the netting, but it was enough to make the people who were buying it aware of it. You can think of it as a step of adversity that they had to overcome for it. Immediately, the residents in the area started buying the netting and started using them as their intended bed covering to protect them from the malaria threat. It was this personal investment in the item that triggered the desired outcome. This concept is pretty similar to what I've been talking about. We are working to increase the level of student involvement in their own world. And if we can give these students a level of excitement and give them the tools to make their way through issues and situations, they are going to tackle great and amazing things. Every year that I work in this program that I do work in, oftentimes I end up using the same engineering challenges and problem-solving situations. And every year, I'm blown out of the water at least once by a group of young people who tackle a problem in a way that I've never seen, I had not conceived of, and they do wonderful things with it. And I think that's fantastic. That's exactly what we want to work toward. If we hold students to expectations of this is the answer, this is the only way to do this, we are doing them and ourselves a disservice. Learn to work with your mentee in a way that allows them to have their own ideas and to have to work through those ideas and work through the consequences of those ideas and support them when they fall off that proverbial bicycle. Help them understand why something didn't work. The more that they can learn to analyze those situations, the more they're going to be empowered. the more they're going to grow, the more they're going to take risks, and the more they're going to succeed. So thank you again for listening. I encourage you to keep doing what you're doing because you're doing wonderful things.